Stand with us, Galatians chapter 6. And you'll see a couple other verses there that are listed. Pull that next slide up for me, would you please? That we're going to speak about what you sow is what you get. Not what you see is what you get, but what you sow. Proverbs 11, 18 and Proverbs 22, 8. They say in essence the same thing. Really, what you, if you want to sow to righteousness, you're going to reap a sure reward, the word says, Proverbs 22 there. When if you sow to wickedness, that's what you're going to sow, and that's what you're going to reap. And I want you to look with me, pick up even at verse number 7 of Galatians chapter 6. Do not be deceived. Everybody there, say amen. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And there's been a couple of different times in our history where, you know what, the Spirit of God has broken in and we didn't even preach, or we just preached a little sermonette. Most of the time, sermonettes are for Christianettes, okay? You know that. But I'm going to try. I feel led of the Spirit. I'm going to let the overhead kind of lead us a little bit. But I'm not going to use notes. And I'm just going to speak to you from my heart over the next few minutes. And you take notes based upon the handout. And I believe the Lord will help us. And you pray for your pastor, would you? That the Lord will anoint him. The Lord will touch our bodies. Pray for Rhonda. She needs a touch in her body. She's been battling something for about 5 weeks. And we're just going to let the Spirit lead us over these next few minutes. You open to that? Say amen. If you're not, when I pray, you can walk out. And ushers, you bring them back. All right? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for what it's going to accomplish in these next few moments. People didn't come to hear Brad Trask anyway. Lord, they came to hear a word from you. And so, Lord, I pray in these next few moments that your word would come alive and that, Lord, we would learn from your word, which is yea and amen to them that believe. I pray, Lord, as we study your word, this law that is prevalent within our world, that, Lord, we would apply it and we would see this isn't a manipulative message. It's not meant in any way, shape, or form to just speak to people's hearts and lives. And so, Lord, I pray your grace would abound in these next few moments. And all God's people would say, amen and amen. You may be seated. What I just demonstrated to you a moment ago, being up here, Brighton, and jumping down, is demonstrating what? The law of gravity. Our world is full of natural laws. I didn't break the law of gravity. I simply demonstrated the law of gravity. If I were to step out off of a 10-story building, I wouldn't break the law of gravity. I would be broken by the law of gravity. I would demonstrate the law of gravity. There's laws in the natural realm. Are you there? Say amen. Secondly, there are laws not only in the natural realm, but just as there are laws in the natural realm, there are laws, spiritual laws, in the spiritual realm. And what you and I do is we demonstrate, we see God's hand move, and we see the demonstration of those laws. You and I were wise to understand that it's not in any way, shape, or form possible for us to break God's laws. Gravity in the natural, what we're going to talk about in the spiritual today. You and I, we will demonstrate in our lives the laws of the harvest. I preached this in 2003. And just going over some of the notes, God just blessed me. But I wanted to give you six principles of the law of the harvest. Now, I want you to look up here for a second. Because it's key that you understand this. These are neutral laws. Say neutral. Say it one more time. Neutral. These laws are neutral laws. By that, we mean this. If you will do them in the positive, they will bless your life. God will just pour out his spirit upon your life. He will bless your life if you'll do those, this, carry out, and understand this law of sowing and reaping. If you don't, if you say, he's not gonna have me live according to those laws. If you don't understand that, the word of the Lord says this. What did we just read? God will not be mocked. When you mock somebody, you talk trash. Who are you? The fact of the matter is, when you don't apply this law to your life, God will not be mocked. The fact of the matter is, it will come to bear one way or another. So you and I want to live in the positive on these neutral laws. You, look at somebody next to you and say, you make the decision. So four or six laws, if you will, about the harvest. First off is the law of dissemination. You go a little bit ahead of me, David, and I'll look at the confidence monitor. And if you are a little bit ahead, that's even better. By dissemination, we mean this, to go ahead and spread. If you disseminate some information, you spread that about. And the fact of the matter is, we reap where seed has been sown. We reap where seed has been sown. Now, let me give this to you. Right? When it comes to sowing and reaping, there's no such thing as spontaneous generation. Something just doesn't come from nowhere. You don't go to a desert and then just think, okay, hey, something beautiful is going to come out. You put in infrastructure, you put in water lines, you plant seed, you bring in topsoil, and you see Phoenix turn from a desert into a nice community, if you will. In your life and in my life, we will only see a harvest where there has been seed planted. You say, well, Pastor Brad, I come into Brighton Assembly of God today and I see people, I see giving to missionaries, I see people lifting up the name of the Lord. I just came in today, I'm a visitor, but I'm reaping a harvest. Here's the deal. You will reap a harvest based upon what you plant, or somebody else will have planted before you, but nobody reaps without some sowing having been done. Look what Jesus said. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. You know some people, they've long since gone to be with Jesus. A lady by the name of Beulah Christine McMahon was here when Ron and I came here. There was an older couple that one of the man was missing part of his leg. He was the Pickett family. They sat on about the second or third row back over at the old school. There were Bill and Eunice Thompson, who literally 15 years before Ron and I or you even arrived in Brighton, Michigan, they prayed, oh God, would you raise up an Assemblies of God, a Pentecostal church in Brighton, Michigan. Brighton, I want you to know, you and I are reaping today where other people have planted. And this, you say, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is this. You and I have the privilege to be able to plant for others to be able to reap later on down the road. But the fact of the matter is, we reap where we seed has been sown. If you're with me, say amen. Secondly, you need to not only understand the law of dissemination, but secondly, you look at it, it's the law of identification. We reap what we sow. Look up here a second. You can write in a moment. There's a locked-in likeness. You reap the same things that you sow. Look at the word says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. That's the way it's always been. If you go to the next passage, Genesis chapter 1, if I'm not mistaken. We see there
The word tells us that God has always planned it this way. At the beginning of time, it says, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed, according to their, say next one, kinds. What was the Lord saying? You want cucumbers, you plant cucumber seed. You want tomatoes, you plant tomato seed. You want wheat, you plant wheat, corn, corn. You don't get thorn bushes from figs, if you will. That's what the Lord said. And you and I, there is a locked-in law of identification that we will always reap what we sow. The same kind. How many of you want God's blessing? How many of you want God's encouragement in your life? How many of you want a joyful spirit to be exhibited to you? What does the word say? Those that refresh others will themselves be refreshed. There's a boomerang effect in our lives, Brighton. You reap what you sow. You want God's blessing. You want God's favor. The key is you're always planting what you want to receive. It's just how it is. Remember what we said, though. It's a neutral law. So if you're cantankerous, if you're bitter, if you're cynical, and you're always critical of others, what did Jesus himself say? The fact of the matter is, you receive it in the full measure for what you've given. Jesus was identifying and speaking that. You want to be judgmental? You're going to be judged. And in your life and in my life, so many people miss this in life. They say, you know what? Hey, here's what they do, Brighton. You ready? They sow whatever seed they want. Then they come into the house of God on Sunday and pray for crop failure. And it just doesn't work that way. You're always going to reap what you sow. You want God's blessing? Man, just bless others. Hey, you want to be an encourager? You want people to encourage? And look, it to be an encouragement. Those that want friends, what does the word say? Proverbs. Those that want friends must show themselves friendly. It says there, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? This is Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And Job himself declared it. As I have observed, those who plow evil, those who sow trouble, reap it. It's a neutral law. You get back the same exact thing that you sow in life. You reap it. If you're with me, say amen. Third idea. Identification, dissemination. Look at the third law here. Is the law of incubation. We reap later than we sow. We always reap later than we sow. We sow, put this down in the margin there, will you? We sow and we reap in different seasons. Okay? You and I, we want to, I love blueberries. The church knows, you know what? Whenever it rolls around that time, I try and tell ladies, you'll be blessed if you give your pastor during Pastor Appreciation Month, a blueberry pie. You know, I always loved that when we had the pie fellowship downstairs. You know, it was fun that season because I know who loved me. I really did. They would bring blueberry pie. They just did. But I doubly blessed those ladies. But what is the deal? Blueberries, you plant them, and they come up on the vine. It's just a short gestation period. They sprout, and it's a very short season from planting to harvest, if you didn't know that. You don't put the seed for a tomato in the ground and then race out the next day. Hey, where's the tomato plant? You know, look at the packet. 70 to 80 days, and then it'll bring forth a harvest. And the fact of the matter is in our lives that we have to understand this. Just keep doing. Look what it says. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time. what's the proper time? A different season. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You're going to reap a harvest. We used to sing it in the church all the time, didn't we? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Just the look upon his face. Can I just tell you, somebody today, you need to understand, just keep doing the right thing. Keep living for him. It'll be worth it all. Dolly, if she could come back for just a couple of minutes, you know what she would tell you already? It'll be worth it all. She's received her reward. She's in the presence of God Almighty for all eternity. It'll be worth it all, but you're going to reap in a different season. You know, sometimes we quote this Ecclesiastes 11:1. A lot of people do. I prayed it during the offertory. Cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days you will find it again. A lot of people think it, they say it, but they don't even know who they're talking about. Ecclesiastes, writer, was who? Solomon. The same man that wrote many of the Proverbs. And look at what the word says about Solomon's reign. Go to that next passage. Fact of the matter is, says this. The king, who's the king? Solomon. The king had a fleet of trading ships at sea, along with the ships of Hiram. Once every 3 years, it returned. Notice the tenure or the period. 3 years, it returned carrying gold, silver, and ivory, and apes and baboons. King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. What did he do? Solomon was an amazing leader because he would take these daily items, put them in a boat, and send it off. And he wouldn't expect it to come back right away. But he would send Hiram and the other captains out across the four corners of the globe, and they would bring back real riches. He was always in a different season. You and I, there's an incubation period regarding the harvest. Just keep doing the right thing. At the proper time, in the proper season, you will reap a reward if you do not give up. There's a great story. This man, R.G. Lee, great Baptist preacher. He preceded another great preacher, Adrian Rogers, at Bellevue Baptist Church. And R.G. Lee, Google his name sometime, that he's famous for one particular sermon. It's called Payday Someday. If you just do the right thing, payday will come someday. But in his 80s, this man was still strong. And his successor, Adrian Rogers, said, "How are you doing all that you're doing into well into your 80s, Brother Lee?" And he said those words, "I'm living on the dividends of a well-spent youth." What was he saying? I planted the right things, man. I'm just harvesting now. It's a different season. But because I did the right thing, you know what? The blessing of God's upon my life. Look at the word. Do you remember? In the passage we talked about. In Proverbs 11:18, he who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. Number four, look at this. It's not only the law of dissemination, but it's also the law of multiplication. We reap more than we sow. What a great promise. Can I tell you, Brian? You can't outgive God. When you bless the work of God, you say, "Are we taking another offering?" That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about simply your time, your treasure, your talents. And when you live that way, Lord, it's all yours anyway. The fact of the matter is, he's going to multiply it back to your life. We reap more than we sow. What's the old saying? See if I can get it right. You can count the numbers of seeds in an apple, but you can't count the number of apples in a seed. Why? Because there's a multiplication effect. You're always going to reap more. I want you to know God will be a debtor to no man. That's in the positive. But the fact of the matter is, it's a neutral law, right? So if you live it in the negative, what happens? Hosea is prophesying to the children of Israel. They've forsaken me. They haven't lived the way they ought to live. You know what? The fact of the matter is, hey, you know what? We're not going to have to pay the dividends. And the writer, Hosea, says, you know what? They sow the wind, but they reap the whirlwind. It always comes back in an intensified manner in our lives. Make no mistake about it. Here's what a lot of people do, though. Look up here a second. Here's a way a lot of people live. And it goes back to what Paul wrote to the Galatians. God won't be mocked. This is a law. It's a law. I'll say it one more time. It's a law. It's going to come true. In the positive or the negative. And a lot of people over the course of time have listened to the lie. Well, you know what? No real big deal. Be careful. Children of Israel did that, right? Let's do a little math, okay? The law was, another law, was to the Decalogue, the 10 laws given to the children of Israel. Every seventh day, give it as a day of rest. You know what? That's just what was given to the children of Israel. Are you with me? Say amen. And you've got to observe the Sabbath once every 7 days. Every seventh year, let the land rest. Don't plant, don't harvest. I'll provide, just trust me. For 490 years, the children of Israel blew that off. Are you kidding me? That was for the olden days. We're not going to do that. And they said, the word says it. Look, study it. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, if you're taking notes. Just jot it down. I think it's verse 21. For 490 years, think about it, almost twice as long as the United States has been in existence, and then a little bit. You know what? And the fact of the matter is, for 490 years, specifically, they blew that law off. Let's do the math. Every seventh year, you take off. 7 into 490, you guys are sharp. What does that come out to? 70. Let me ask you a question. Do you know how long the Babylonian captivity was? You think that's by coincidence? It's not by coincidence. It's a law. It's just how it works. They owed the Lord 70 years. He won't be mocked. This is the law that he's given to us. And the fact of the matter is, if you'll do the right thing, the blessing of God comes upon your life. Look what it says. Those that, when the Ten Commandments are given, those that hate God, for that sin continues in the bloodline for 3 and 4 generations, but multiplication, for those that love the Lord, to what? 1,000 generations. You can't outgive God, friends. It works in the body of Christ. Number 5 is real easy. The worship team, come on back. We'll cover these next two. Don't get used to this kind of preaching, because I can tell you I'm just too rushed doing that. All right. It's the law. I don't even have to look. It's the law of cultivation. Word says this, and let us not become weary in doing good. See, here's the deal. When it comes to sowing and reaping, how many of you are like my wife? You're a gardener out there. You like to plant. Kelly, you like to? Fruits and vegetables? You like that, Lori? Rhonda loves flowers. She loves birds around. The place has gone to the birds. It's just that. But you got to care for what you sow. You know what? It's not good enough just to plant it. You got to cultivate. You got to weed. You got to till. You got to fertilize. You ever notice your garden? Some of you ladies and men that you leave, when you left on vacation, everything was peachy keen in that garden. You came back 2 weeks later, it was a different ballgame. Why? Because there was weeds everywhere. You know, things had to be trimmed back. That's cultivation. I just want to say this. When you get up in the morning, when I get up in the morning to seek the face of God and to pray, you know what I'm doing? I'm cultivating. My life is like a vineyard. It's like a garden. And I'm pulling weeds as I'm reading God's word. It has a cultivation effect in my life. It's spurring me on for what is right. It's cleansing out the things, the weeds that needed to be selfishness and prideful attitudes. I'm recognizing, you know what? I'm ever dependent upon the Lord. You got to care for what you sow. One last idea. It's not only all these previous five laws, but it's the law of participation. We reap only if we sow. We will reap only if we sow. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Can I just encourage you? I love what Solomon says back there in Ecclesiastes. He says, you know what? The lazy person or the lazy farmer, when you ask them, you know what? Why didn't you plant? Well, you know what? I heard there was a severe weather pattern coming. Or I heard a drought was coming. Or the time wasn't just right. Can I tell you? You'll always find a reason not to be a person that sows. Well, I got the kids. I can't be involved in ministry. I can't give my treasure and talent. I can't be involved in the worship team. I can't be an usher. Man, I'd have to get there 10 minutes early. I can't do that. We can barely make it now. You're always going to find a reason. There's always going to be a weather pattern. What does Solomon say? He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during the harvest is a disgraceful son. Don't be a weather watcher. Go back one slide. Will you do that? Can you do that, David? Didn't mean to throw you off. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. You know what? In our lives, I'm jealous for you, Brighton. You know, I really am. I'm jealous for your lives. You say, well, hey, man, I think he's getting ready to hit me up. I'm not. But you know what? 2 weeks from today, it's one day to feed the world. And some of you are saying, you know what? I just can't plant a day's wage. Barely making it now. Would you just ask God to sovereignly provide? Would you ask him to throw open the windows of heaven for you? Would you just say, Lord, you know what? Your word says those that give to the poor lend to the Lord and you will repay them. Lord, so I'm just going to do what you've called me to do. I've never given to missions, Pastor. I'm just even struggling with the idea of tithing. A guy came up to me after church a couple weeks ago about I had mentioned tithing in the message, and he says, I'm just not there. I hope you still love me. I'm like, bro, I didn't even know you tithed or didn't tithe. Now I know, but I still love you. Don't tell me those things, okay? Just don't. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know it. I really don't. Just don't tell me that. So in our lives, this is how we live. It's all yours, Lord. Our resources, our lives. Lord, we're just coming before you and we just say, have your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in our lives. Let me try and illustrate this and we'll close. Would you stand with me? Take your Bible or one that's in the rack before you, okay? I want you to hold God's word. Hold it up nice and high. Will you do that just for a second? Got it? My dad used to say, hold your Bible up, shake it at the devil. It was a man, many of you have heard of Wycliffe translators. John Wycliffe was a Catholic priest. He literally spoke Greek and Hebrew like you and I do English. Studied the Word of God, knew it as a priest. But he asked the Lord to begin to just share new revelation to him. And he began to realize, you know what? The way I'm living right now is not the way that God has called the church of Jesus Christ to live. And in that day, the common person didn't have the Bible. So this Catholic priest, he does something in that time pattern, 1300s, 14th century. It's totally outlawed. He begins to translate the Word of God into the English language. Catholic Church gets upset because he's saying, you know what? I don't see anything about a pope. I don't see anything about saints that we're to pray to. And he says, you know what? You guys, you're not living the way that it ought to be. But he takes a stand. He starts to translate the Word of God. He's removed from his position at Oxford University as a teaching professor. Short while after, because he's so discouraged, he dies of a stroke about 2 or 3 years later as he's preaching to just some like-minded saints. 44 years after he dies, the Catholic Church still hates him. I promise you, study it. They're so mad at him, the Pope says, exhume his body and burn it with his books and throw it into the Thames River in London. And that's what they do. Fact of the matter is, though, John Wycliffe sowed. And you and I have the privilege of reading God's word, if we choose, every day. Because a man planted his life and it multiplied back over and over and over again. You know what? It's our family story, but so I know you get tired of it. But think about that. An evangelist comes to Brainerd, Minnesota, and a Roman Catholic chain-smoking woman visits on a Saturday. Her bartending husband comes the next day, who can't get by a day without a fifth of whiskey. But that guy was faithful to preach in that church in Brainerd, Minnesota, in the middle of the wintertime. And the parents of two boys at the time, one of them becomes a missionary to Burma and to Indonesia for more than 50 years. The other, the youngest son, becomes the Pentecostal leader, the top Pentecostal leader of the entire church on the face of the earth. Why? Because there's a multiplication process. You don't know when you sow what's going to come back. Are you willing today? Are you willing just to say, Lord, just all glory unto you.